You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 15th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join MLB hosts live to get in on the action. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. They fell tonight 12-3 to Cleveland. That wraps up the season series. They won 11 out of 19, I think it was. I think they went 11-8 against Cleveland, which is impressive considering how poorly they've played against basically everyone. For the most part, they played well against Cleveland. Not tonight. Didn't pitch well tonight. I thought there was a reason, as I was talking about how they played Cleveland, you know, well leading up to this series. This series didn't go in their favor. But I thought that there was a rhyme or reason to it, because I think Cleveland, with their starting pitching, yeah, the Twins are 11-8 against Cleveland this year. With their starting pitching, I think the Twins have a much better chance because their offense is generally better than their pitching to beat a team like Cleveland than they do to beat a team like Toronto, who they're going to play in Toronto this weekend, because they just can't get those outs against a good lineup consistently. At points this year, they did. And I'm skeptical because it's a 162-game season. Like, those stretches are going to happen. I do think that they battled and they rallied at that point when they beat Tampa and they beat the White Sox, you know, and they beat Houston and they won those three series in a row, their best stretch of the season by far. And they pitched very well in that stretch, and they got clutch hits, is something that they weren't doing early this season. They started 14-28 since they're 50-55. And tonight they fell to 64-83. And I think, yeah, like during that stretch, legitimately pitched well and hit well for the most part. But they have a much better chance when they're facing a team like Cleveland, because they can get those outs more often than they can, you know, more often than they can get hits against bad pitching, I think, because they can beat good starting pitching. They've done that this year. They've done that the last 3 years. They can beat a good starter. It's just about getting outs on the mound. And I do think that there is this perception with the Twins this year. We're going to break this all down after the season, all the problems, everything that went wrong, because it is not one thing. I think the human mind wants to think that it's one thing. And in a way, yeah, I mean, the pitching is the main thing, right? Just that they didn't pitch well. But there's more to it than that. There's a lot of things that went wrong that I think I forget about and I think fans forget about. I mean, the COVID outbreak early on that impacted them, certainly. Things like that, not hitting with runners in scoring position for much of that first half of the season, didn't help them. Mistakes that they made, not only with Alexander Colomé and with Jay Happ and with Matt Shoemaker and those signings on the pitching staff, but mistakes they made on the position player side too, by signing Andrelton Simmons instead of Marcus Semien, because Semien had a monstrous year for Toronto. Who knows what happens if Semien's up in some of those big spots and gets a big hit for you in those spots early in the season and throughout the year. Maybe it's different and maybe it's not, but even then, like, you have an asset to trade at the deadline in Marcus Semien. They couldn't even trade Andrelton Simmons. So there's a fallout of that too. It's not just the pitching. It wasn't just the pitching early on when they got off to such a bad start after the 5-2, you know, first seven games. But it was more than that, and it's been more than that. And I do think that they've had an energy issue a lot this year. I thought tonight they just looked like they didn't want to play. Defensively, have not been good. I mean, Max Kepler, I tweeted tonight, you can follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9, follow the show at Locked On Twins, tweeted tonight that Kepler is the best defensive right fielder in baseball this year by outs above average. But outside of Kepler and Buxton when he plays, of course, I mean, no one's stood out defensively. Polanco's been about average at second base, and that's been an upgrade, certainly, at second base. But, you know, Andrelton Simmons, you look at the numbers, and he's solid there, but there have been some just head-scratching errors from guys, from Donaldson and from Simmons, guys that who've played very, very good defense for their careers. You know, these are veterans who've won gold gloves, have been in gold glove races, that have had 15, 20 defensive runs saved in seasons that just made head-scratching errors. Like, it's just what happened, and it's part of what was baked into this disastrous season. I think it was on a lot of fronts. Again, I don't think it was just the pitching. I think on a lot of fronts, they made mistakes in the field, at the plate, in the offseason, in the locker room. Like, there were mistakes everywhere this year, and I'm excited to break them down. Like, I'm excited to look at it and discover new things and be curious about the numbers and look deeper into it. And I've watched, you know, 98% of Twins games this year. I missed some Friday and Saturdays probably, but, and I went to a ton this summer too. So I've seen it all. Like, I see what happens, but it's important too to look at the numbers and break down the numbers, because sometimes you can be overcome by emotion. I was so upset so many times at Target Field this year that maybe I didn't see some things that happened. You know, maybe I didn't pay attention at certain times, and numbers can kind of help you with that when you aren't paying attention and can give you that perspective. So I'm interested to look into all of that, but you're going to see a game and a box score tonight, and the Twins lost 12-3, and they've had games like this all year, but it's going to be easy for fans to just say, well, that's why, you know, they gave up 12 runs to Cleveland tonight. Yeah, sloppy pitching all year. Starting pitching has an ERA over 5. The bullpen was a mess at the beginning of the season. But it's more than that, and I'm excited to look into that, and I hope you join me as we look into that this offseason. Well, also, of course, so much offseason coverage coming on prospects. I'm going to be on Cooper Carlson's podcast next week talking about prospects. So much prospect talk, so much free agent talk, so much trade talk. There's going to be a ton this offseason, but also breaking down what we just watched. And during the 60-game season, I broke down the season in 15-game intervals. I think we're going to do something like that this offseason to talk about what happened in each of these stretches. I mean, I'm looking right now at the game log. After the Twins started 5-2, losing 5 in a row, there was, you know, 5-7 at that point, and it was crazy how it went down. And I think because when you're in the moment, it's harder to sit in it and to understand what's happening. To reflect is important, and we'll do that this offseason. Let's talk about the state of the Twins right now, the state of the fan base in a game like tonight, where everything stands after the break. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Twins once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. Can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Twins room is live. Download the Green Room app today. That's Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's promo code Locked On. Promo code Locked On. LOCKEDON. All one word for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The Twins are 147 games into the season. They're in last place in the American League Central. More pain is coming, and you thought it was never going to end. Like, you always saw more pain on the horizon. One of the biggest ones was knowing that Nelson Cruz was going to be traded, and that was something that you were waiting for to happen. Now we're waiting for the White Sox to clinch the American League Central, and anyone but the White Sox. I would rather have Cleveland win the Central. Maybe not have Cleveland win the Central like 2 years in a row than have the White Sox win one, because that means the Twins don't win in those 2 years. But it just sucks to watch them win the division, because it validates everything from this offseason. I felt like for a lot of the offseason, the Twins were looked at as an underdog in this division when they shouldn't have been. I thought throughout the offseason, as the back-to-back division champion Twins, they should be looked at as the favorite until further notice, you know, until they show that they're not. And boy, did they show that they're not this year. But I thought that there was a chip on the shoulder of this team and of the fan base. And certainly I think for the White Sox too, getting blasted the last couple of years. But especially for the Twins, I think, in the way that they were viewed and the way that they almost were disrespected. And all of that is validated now, right? When this season went the way that it did, all of that disrespect that was coming, I thought, toward the Twins is validated. Now it's looks right. You know, it looks like those that were saying, and Herb Lawrence and I and Chris Tannehill, host of Locked On White Sox, do just an amazing job. We were talking before the season and they were like, dude, Matt Shoemaker and Jay Happ in the rotation, aren't you nervous about that? And almost blindly, I thought, no, this front office has us. You know, they know what they're doing. Like they made these decisions and they've done this before and they know how to win. And, you know, Jay Happ and Matt Shoemaker are veterans with good numbers. All those things were true. And I kind of just brushed it to the side in a way. I brushed that to the side because I was almost arrogant to the Twins being really good the last 2 years. And yes, they lost in the playoffs, but they did win the division handily in 19. Like it took them a while to eventually clinch, but I think they won the division by 8 games. Last year, they came back. The White Sox, even when they had that three or four game lead with like a week left, still found a way to blow it. And the Twins came back and won. So you just felt, at least I felt, with the offseason they had too, that they were going to stand pat. You know, they were going to be around 88 to 90 wins, and that was probably going to be enough in the Central, and that's not how it played out at all. I think it's hard to get last place in this division. And Detroit, we'll talk about Detroit this offseason too. They've played great for the most part. You know, since the All-Star break have been solidly above average and might even finish at 500 this year with a handful of games to go. Kansas City's not good at all. They got off to a really good start, but just they're not good. I mean, they're not a good ball club. So to be worse than Kansas City, it takes some doing. The Twins right now at 10:04 p.m. on September 15th are 3.5 games behind Kansas City for fourth place in the American League Central. It's a collapse that I will continue to try to wrap my head around, because dropping to third place is one thing. Like, you have a disappointing season. Yeah, you drop to third place in the American League Central. That's one thing. Dropping to fourth place is another. Dropping to last place in this division is, I think it's almost hard to do. Like, it's hard to do that in my eyes. And that's how bad they've been. Like, I want to be real. As positive as I am, and I'm positive on this podcast because I am hopeful for the future. I'm hopeful for the prospects. And I believe, as positive as I am, like, you need to just sit in how bad they are. Like, this is a bad team. And I think I realized it tonight, again, watching them lose 12-3, how bad they are. Like, that needs to be, you know, when you go through a breakup and people will tell you, you need to sit in it for a while. Like, sit in feeling sad. Don't try to jump out and make yourself feel happy again. Like, sit in your sadness. Feel sad. Be sad for a while and be aware of what that feels like, because it's real. I mean, that's a real thing. And I almost look at the Twins that way. Like, yes, I'm going to sit in the sadness. I've sat in the sadness, I think, this summer, but you have to turn and you have to persevere, and you have to be resilient in covering a team like this. But this offseason, I want Twins fans and I want myself to sit in how bad they were. Because unless you understand how bad they were in a lot of areas, and we're going to look at all those areas, like I said, you can't look forward with reality. You can be hopeful, but there needs to be reality there. And in order for there to be reality about the future, along with being hopeful, you need to be real about what just happened. You need to be real about how bad this team is and how bad they were this year and the skids that they had. And I think there is a little bit of that, you know, and you're down, so just be down. I think that happened to the Twins this year. Like, for example, when they're down 10-0 in a game and they put in Williams Astudillo and then end up losing. Well, Williams pitched pretty well this year, but let's say put in Barraclough, someone like that, and they end up losing 15-0 instead of 10, and you go, oh my goodness, they lost 15-0. Well, what's the big difference between 15-0 and 10-0? So there's a little bit of that baked in, but this is a real record. They're legitimately almost 20 games below 500 in the American League Central. They'll be lucky to win 70, I think, which is insane for preseason projections and for the hopes of this season. Like, that's 18 to 20 games less than what they were projected to win this year. That is that's so disappointing. Let's talk about the fan base, because I think that's important. Let's talk about that after the break. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. That's DirecTV.com. So I'm sitting watching tonight, as I do. Like I said, I'd say on average 5-6 days a week, and Friday and Saturday nights, it's a little spotty. I'm in college, so it's a little spotty on Friday and Saturday, but I always catch up. It's this feeling that you get watching where you just don't feel like a lot of people are watching with you, and maybe that's a feeling I've gotten, but I can't blame people. And I tweeted tonight, I don't blame you if you're not watching the 64-83 last place Minnesota Twins in game number 147 when it's football season. It's September 15th. The season's over in 2 weeks. This is the dog days. The dog days were not May when you're looking forward and thinking, I mean, that part sucks too, when you're looking forward and thinking, oh goodness, we got 4 months where they're going to be bad and they're going to be out of the race for 4 months and could get embarrassed. It's now. These are the dog days when you're a Twins fan watching this team, because you're going to miss it. Like, I'm going to miss watching them. I'm going to be sad this offseason without the Twins, as crazy as that is. I'm going to miss watching Jorge Polanco. I'm going to miss watching Byron Buxton. Heck, I would take a Matt Shoemaker start just one time this winter just to watch. I'm going to miss the Twins. I'm going to be counting down until spring training. We'll count down on the podcast. I'll be so excited for it to come. But you sit here on a night like tonight when they're down 12-3 in Target Field. The Boo Birds are out, but it's almost like there's not enough energy for people to even boo anymore. The energy has been just completely sucked out from Target Field this year because the team is so bad. And people are going to show up and cheer, and people are loyal to the Twins. I know that. But I don't know if there's been a point where I felt as a Twins fan, things are just feel so lifeless as a fan right now, you know, and I think that's another important thing to be aware of. And I think there is some of that, certainly when you're as bad as you were in 2016, but that team wasn't supposed to be good. This team was supposed to be good. There's something different about when you're supposed to be good and you're really, really bad. There's something that's really frustrating and upsetting about that, I think, for fans. And I understand it, and I feel that too. But you just sit there on a night like tonight, and then I'm watching, and Framil Reyes hits a monstrous home run to left field. And I see Karp, who's a Twins Twitter legend, I'd say at this point, run after this ball in left field at Target Field. And I felt this sense of there's life to this fan base. This is a fan base that is hungry. I think Twins fans and Minnesota sports fans, I think Minnesota and Minneapolis as a market maybe this is just because I'm from there, is underrated from a fan base perspective. I think Vikings fans are awesome. I think Twins fans are awesome. I think watching Twins fans come out in 2019 and 2020, the passion I thought was awesome. Like, it might be a smaller group, but I think it's a very passionate group. And I think people love baseball in Minnesota and love the Twins and love Target Field and want to see them win. And even when people like will tweet at me and they're like, this team sucks, like fire Rocco, fire the front off, all this stuff. There is a sliver of me that is glad that they're tweeting that at me because, well, A, I don't work for the Twins, so there's nothing I can do about it. You can vent your frustration to me. But there's camaraderie and there's loyalty even in that, because you feel amongst those fans, all it is just you're upset because you're passionate about a sport. You're passionate about a sports team. As crazy as that is, like, that passionate about a team. And that's how we are. You know, that's how Twins fans are, I think, generally. So to watch them struggle is certainly painful. To watch any of your team struggle is certainly painful. But I think Twins fans in 2019 and 2020, like I said, to watch that group come together was really cool. And it gives you hope for the future. The next winning Twins team will have a lot of support, even after how bad those years were between 2011 and 2016. How many people came out, went to the games, cheered on the Twins, tweeting about the Twins. You know, it's all good. It's all good. And I think it's waiting for the next good team. And that's what I'm hopeful for. And that's what I long for. And I hope that the path there is not as long as it seems. But it's nights like tonight where it does feel like it is long. And it feels like to get some fans back, it's going to be difficult. But here's the bottom line. Winning heals all. Winning heals all. And people will come back. And Twins fans will be rejuvenated once more in a matter of time. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Go Twins. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. It's philosophical tonight. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm just wondering and thinking about the future for this team. We'll talk baseball tomorrow for sure. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Go Twins. 5 days a week on the Twins. Can't find it anywhere else.